Hey everyone, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And let's say you're a soldier in the world of Warhammer 40,000 and your city's under attack. What are you going to do? Well, as long as you have the box and the sprue you came in, you're going to be fine, because I'm going to show you how not only to build your city, but also defenses for it on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Season 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And this week I had a really cool show lined up for you. It's going to be a really cool debate show, but as the world goes, not everyone can always make the schedules. Things change, and well, you're just stuck with me this time. So we'll get that really cool debate show on not too long in the future. We're working to reschedule it right now. So instead, come up with something kind of on the fly. So I've worked on a really cool project here I wanted to show off. Basically, what I do is I produce a YouTube series, kind of very occasionally, it's not even a kind of regular schedule, called Green Gaming. So if you've never seen it, go check out our YouTube channel. I'll try to remember to put the link in the show notes this time. And you go check out the episodes of Green Gaming. I've done six of them so far. And basically the idea is to try to find miniature wargame projects that are often built out of trash. So this time we're actually going to build some things like... It's kind of a very simple, very kind of basic looking ruined building. We also got things like some tank traps. You know, there's basically welded metal stuck together to block tanks and stuff. And I've got also a ruined wall segment. That's outside right at the moment, drying from the primer. But see, the thing about all these projects I just showed you here, the little catch is that they're built out of only using boxes. Like, for example, the boxes that you buy for your Warhammer 40,000 figures. And the plastic sprues that are left over from punching out all the pieces. So we're going to show you how you can take all these different pieces here and assemble them in those three projects throughout the course of the show. So let's start off with the first one, which is the simplest. It's a tank trap. And well, actually, before I even do that, let's go through all the supplies you're going to need. That's a good thing to start with. So first of all, I've already obviously mentioned the plastic sprues. I've got a whole pile of them here if you're listening to me on Radioland. I've got several boxes here from crisis suits, broadside suits, fire warrior boxes, all my towel stuff. Some of the boxes left over from that giant, massive fire warrior hunter cadre thing they offered back when Apocalypse came out. Yes, I bought that. I dropped the money and bought it. A little excessive, but I bought it. As for actual tools now, safety goggles. These are going to be important when you get around to using the diagonal cutting pliers to start snapping those sprues and pieces. A pencil. Whoops. See if I can hold on to that. A pencil. Scissors. I've got my usual set of GW paints over here. Just some brushes in there. I've also got some basically poster board paints. Simple, cheap stuff. That's going to be done for some of the major washes and major things. We have a hot glue gun sitting right over here, hiding behind my Triple E. We've also got extra glue sticks. You're going to need those. And of course, here's my little paint water bottle, paint bottle and things. And we're going to keep that separate from my normal water bottle, which I'm drinking from. Okay, so let's get started with the tank traps. And basically, if you're not familiar with the term, what a tank trap is, it's literally pieces of metal that have been welded together that basically the defenders slap down in areas that basically to block tanks, slow them down, make them go around them, anything that basically make tanks have a rough day. So that's the idea. They're literally just pieces of scrap metal welded together and in place in these giant barricades. Which makes building them really easy out of sprues, because when you start cutting these sprues up, they look really nice as little pieces of scrap metal you stick together. So, what you're going to need to do is take a sprue and start cutting up pieces. So you want to cut little bits of pieces that are about an inch to an inch and a half long. And you want maybe 15 to 20 of these, because you're going to use them to make little crosses that are going to form the cross brace of the tank trap. So before you start using your diagonal cutting pliers, most importantly, get out your safety goggles, stick them on. Don't worry, no one's going to care if you look goofy with safety goggles on. It's been more important to look goofy now and have both your eyes later than to not look goofy now and me missing an eye later. So go ahead, start cutting the sprues apart into maybe segments that are about an inch to an inch and a half long. And if you want... You don't have to cut all the little pieces off, like see, as I'm holding up the camera right now, I've got the main piece and I got a few little things sticking off it. You can leave those on there because it gives it more of the scrap metal look, the hurried, rushed look to it. So like I said, you really want to go ahead and maybe sit down and cut about 20 to 25 of these. You'll probably have about 15 to 20 on any given tank trap. Fortunately for me, I thought ahead. And this is the few I just cut there. I've got a whole pile of them sitting over here ready to go. So you don't have to sit and watch me cut them all out. So but at this time, go ahead, kind of pause the podcast, go cut some out and come back. And we'll get ready assembling these into the actual tank traps themselves. So once you're done with cutting, if you want, once you're done with cutting, you can kind of take the safety goggles off for now. You don't have to worry too much about the hot glue as long as you don't try to stick the hot glue gun in your eye, which I don't know why you would do that, but you never know. Stuff happens. If you're worried, keep them on. It's not a bad idea, ever. So get some hot glue loaded up here, and what you're going to end up doing now is starting to glue these pieces together in little crosses. So all you do is take one, sit it on the ground, take a dab of hot glue, stick it right in the middle of that one, and then take another one, it's going to be the cross brace, and put it at about, so they're basically perpendicular to each other. So if you hold it up, you've got more or less what looks to be a little cross. And you basically just got to do that over and over again. Depending on the size of the tank trap, is going to be, the number is going to vary. I mean, I think on the ones I built, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 6 or 7 crosses per tank trap. They don't have to look nice. They don't even have to look that great. Because, like I said, this is all like the defenders just in a hurry building up the fences. So they don't have to look all that nice. And just, do the gluing. Okay. So now we've gone ahead. You can see I've got all little crosses on in front of me here. We just want to let them dry, so the hot glue might take a minute or two for it to dry and set. But once you've got these, now it's time to go build the cross braces that are going to actually attach them all together. So, obviously, you want to cut some more pieces off the sprue, some of the longer pieces here, say along the tops or the sides. Get my safety goggles back on. And I would say, just make two of them about equal length. I mean, the tank traps that are already built, they're probably about 4.5 to 5 inches long. I can show you up here. So maybe that's about an ideal length for them, so you have a couple of warriors hiding behind them. I'm just going to go ahead and make this one maybe a little bit smaller, but, the exact length of them isn't critical. There's that one cut. And as with the actual pieces that form the crosses, don't worry if these things are not super neat, because, like I said, they're just hurried defenses, so they can look kind of crummy and have little bits sticking off them and things. So here we go. We got the two cross braces just like that. You can see them holding up to the camera right now. And how you're going to go ahead and glue them on is a little tricky, and you got to be very careful not to burn yourself, because as I've learned time and time and time again, hot glue is hot, hence the name and the pain and associated with burning when it touches your skin. Yeah. So what you're going to do is take the little cross here. You can see now where the two angles meet to form about a 90-degree angle. You're going to add some glue in there and then stick, we'll do it right there, and stick the cross beam right in there. So therefore, it'll kind of glue on to the cross beam kind of like that. So you're going to basically put a little bit of glue in the area where the two pieces of the cross meet and form a 90-degree angle. And stick the cross beam right in there so that now the cross beam is perpendicular to the entire cross, if that makes sense. So essentially you're going to have, along the cross beam, it's going to be all little crosses lined up attached to it. So, take the hot glue. Very carefully stick a little bit in there. And then insert the cross beam in there. It may take a little while for it to dry, which is all right, not too critical. But just then, and like I said, if it gets messed up or it's the wrong size, who really cares? These are hastily constructed defenses. They don't have to look really awesome at all. So let's go ahead. We're going to stick some more glue over here, say in that one. And we're going to make that one go on the other side. So once you've glued one cross onto one end, glue another cross on the other end so you can kind of support the whole thing a little bit, so it doesn't tip over on itself. And now you can go ahead and start gluing the crosses in the middle between those two. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and stick the last cross segment in on this one. And we'll let that kind of go in there and dry a little bit. In there. And now while that's drying, we're going to talk a little bit about how to paint these things up. So I'll let that all dry before I put the second cross brace in there and, you know, make it all nice. So as we're painting these things, what you're going to want to probably consider, oh yeah, let me make one note about assembly. Because like I said, these things are basically hastily welded together by defenders. If you've got large blobs of hot glue on there, don't worry too much about that, because it may look kind of, quote, bad, but that's just like a bad weld, you know? That's the beauty about making this stuff. It doesn't have to look nice, because it's so hastily constructed. So let's talk a little bit about painting while I'm letting this dry. Here's the steps of painting these guys. You're going to, one, take it outside, hit it with some primer. Don't use the expensive GW primer. You're just wasting on this stuff. Get very basic primer. I've got some sitting off camera, about 6 inches off camera. You can't see, which is kind of unfortunate, but it's very basic spray primer. Just spray it on there and give it a nice even coat of gray. Then it actually would probably use, like, get out some of this poster paint here. Use some of this cheap stuff to give it a very dark gray coat. And then maybe do a wash with a black paint. If you're not familiar with what a wash is, a wash is basically taking some paint and really thinning it down and going over it. So that'll give it kind of a muddy blackish coat that's not quite even. And then maybe take some colors from the GW paints, like a bolt gun metal would probably be pretty good, because that'll give it a little bit of a reflective look to it. And that bolt gun metal. So take some bolt gun metal, dry brush some of that on there. That'll give it kind of a reflective look. And maybe try some of the Kalfan brown or some of the other brown colors and dry brush that on there to give it a look, or maybe terracotta, that's a little bit redder, to give that a little bit of a rusted look. So that'll look like the steel they use is kind of rusted and old. Some more of the whole scrap theme effect. And that's the basic gist to painting them. And that makes them really easy to paint and really easy to assemble these things and get like 10, 15 of them out on the board. And your troops can hide behind them. The tanks can't quite move through them. Or maybe they got to, you know, do a ram order to get through them. Something. You can have fun experimenting with different ideas that way. So, this bottom half is probably pretty well dry. So, as you can see here now, I've got the first cross beam with a whole bunch of the crosses glued to it. We're going to go ahead and put the second cross beam on to give it a little more stability. So, flip the whole thing over and set it down. And doing your best, this may be kind of difficult because of the way the crosses were assembled and glued on there. Find a way that you can kind of glue this cross beam on to as many of the crosses as possible. And that just gives the whole structure a lot more support. So we got that. So I set the cross beam now on the top of the crosses, since you flip the whole thing over, and just kind of douse some hot glue in there, some various parts, to where the upper cross beam also touches the crosses, and that'll give it a nice little, some more support. So you'd be a little rough with these things, toss them around, just toss them in your box. You don't have to take a lot of good care of them. And that will let it dry. So probably after a few minutes of letting it dry, give it a nice, decent paint coat. Like, here's one I'm not quite done painting it yet. But you can see here the basic dark paint coat on it. They're simple, ugly, but they do the job. So you can toss them around, set them up however you want, different ways, and you've got a nice, simple tank strat to play with for Warhammer 40K. So, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and start building ruined wall segments. Okay, so we're back here. We finished up our tank traps. Now we're going to go ahead and start doing a ruined wall segment. So this is kind of a precursor a little bit to the buildings. This is the idea that, you know, there's buildings that have already been obliterated and there's basically just walls left. Maybe they're just cement walls that got blown out. And this time we're going to actually use the sprues as well as some of the boxes. So what I'm going to start actually here with is a smaller GW box. In this case, I'm using the box of a crisis suit. The reason I'm picking one of the smaller ones is what's going to happen is the lids of the boxes are going to become the base of the wall, and the main section of the box is actually going to become the walls. So, what you actually can end up doing is using one crisis tube box here to actually make two wall segments. So there's not any kind of measuring involved, because you're basically using the dimensions of the boxes as the dimension of the walls. So, I didn't realize when I do these shows, I say so a lot. So I apologize for that. Okay, make it so. Now I'm screwing myself up. So, gosh darn it. Okay, cut the lid of the box off. Sorry for screaming in the microphone. Maybe I'll cut that part out. And just cut the lid of the box off. So this is going to become the base of the wall. Now what you want to do is cut one of the main sides of the wall, main sides of the box off. This is going to become the wall itself. There we go. I cut one side of the box off. And now what you want to do is let's actually start by marking which sides are the bottom. So I'm going to put what I'm going to do here is now I'm going to put an X at the bottom of the box and also an X at the top of the box. So I know those are the two sides that were actually at the bottom, or, you know, attached to the lids. Now we want to go ahead and cut this thing approximately in two. It doesn't have to be the exact size. You're going to end up seeing we're going to chop this thing up pretty good. So I got two sizes there. Oh, they're roughly the same size. Oh well, doesn't matter. You need to make it look like the walls kind of burned down or ruined. So, inspiration, look at the wall behind me. As you can kind of see, I got little areas chopped out of it. That's the effect you want to give to the wall. Make it look like it's been burned and blown to pieces. So, there goes that word again. Using your scissors, start cutting just a basic part off the top of the wall. Put some little niches in there, some little valleys, all sorts of things, maybe give it a little bit of a chunk out of the side. Actually, kind of cool effect. Let's do a chunk out of the side. Oops, don't do too much damage to it. And do the same basic thing to both sides. They certainly do not have to be symmetrical in any way, shape, or form. It's quite possible for them to basically each side of the wall is obliterated exactly. Because I guess what I should say, what we're going to end up doing is put little steel, make it look like kind of steel girders or steel rhubarb in the middle there, and that's going to be represented with the pieces of the plastic sprue. So let's put a chunk on the wall off over there. Let's make those look too nice and even. There we go. Not the best looking things, but hey, it's simple. So as you can see here, I've got the two sides of the wall cut out. X's mark the bottom, and the tops have now been all chopped up and beaten up and things. So, where's that word again? That'd be hilarious. I have a little so counter time to say so at the bottom. Ding, 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 ding. Maybe we'll do that. If I had time. Okay. Now we need to mark the spots where the plastic sprues are going to be to kind of represent the steel rhubarb. And, depends how many you want to put in there. I'm going to probably put four in a wall that measures about 3 inches. It's all your choice, more or less, whatever looks good to you. So I'm just going to draw a few vertical lines along one side of the wall. So there we go. So I can see here I got 4 vertical lines now that I drew with my pencil. Those are going to be where the 4 pieces of the sprue go to make it look like a steel rhubarb building that's been obliterated. So we're going back to our plastic sprues at this point. Not in there. And what we want to do is obviously we're going to start cutting, get your safety goggles back on. And now, depending on how tall your wall is, you want to cut your sprues so there may be, maybe a half an inch to an inch above the wall. It really just depends on the effect you're trying to go for and how you want it to look. So in my case, I'm probably going to cut my piece anywhere from about a little over 2 inches to maybe 2.5, 3, 4 inches tall. So let's go ahead. And now these things, you do want to kind of make them look relatively smooth. So whereas the other pieces didn't matter, as you can see here, before when I had the little side spurs attached to it, I could leave them on. This time around, let's go ahead and cut them off to make it look a little bit smoother. And I need 4 of those. So let's go ahead, we'll cut We'll use this piece here. There we go. Okay, so if I hold up the camera here, I've got my four little pieces of sprue that are going to become kind of steel rhubarb. And now we're going to go ahead and glue these things down to the wall segment that you drew the lines on. And like before, we're going to use hot glue just because it dries fast and it's relatively easy. So put a little bead of hot glue along the line, and then go ahead and glue the piece of sprue down. You kind of want to glue it down so that it does stick above the wall a little bit, so you can see there. I've glued it down, and now this top of the little rhubarb piece, or sprue piece, which is the rhubarb, kind of interchangeably, obviously, if you noticed, sticks maybe about a half an inch, 3/4 inch above the wall segment. And do that for each of the four pieces of sprue you're attaching down. So let's put that one like kind of like that. The sprues don't, you know, have to go all the way to the bottom, because, you know, you're not going to see it down there normally, because probably your bottom is all the way covered up, but, you know, it's how you want it, however you want to do things. There. Purely by coincidence, I've noticed that my four pieces of sprue are pretty similar in height. I mean, it's a matter of preference if you like that or not. So let's just make a few quick adjustments without burning my hand on my hot glue. So that's always the adventure. That's a little bit better. So now they're a little bit different heights. So now what we're going to do, take the other wall segment you got, and you want to line it up so that you can glue it onto the pieces of rhubarb as well. There we go, just like that. So you can see here now, I'll go ahead, I've lined it up on the other side. So obviously on the side of the rhubarb where the plastic's still exposed, you're going to go ahead and put some glue on there and stick it on just like that, as I showed you there. So taking your hot glue gun, put a little bit of glue on the plastic sprues that are currently glued down to the one side of the board. You know, on the plastic sprues that are currently glued down to the one side of the board, put a little bit of glue on the other side of them, like that. So if I hold them up here now, you've obviously got... That could have been really bad. Almost got more hot glue, man. You can see I've got the glues, obviously, you know, attached to the one side there that's not glued down. Take the actual other side of the wall and now glue that down. Okay, so there we go. So as you can see here now, let me hold up the camera. They're kind of small to see. In my hand, I've got a whole bunch of little bits of plastic screw that I've cut up. That's going to become the debris field. So let's go back over to our wall segment over here. Take some hot glue. And then maybe just add a few little kind of globs of hot glue around. Drop a few of them on it. And do that about maybe two or three places on either side of the wall. And that'll give it a look like there's a little bit of debris that is like falling off the wall when it got blown up on either side. So that's just all about, you know, giving a little more cooler, a little more, I don't know if I'd say a realistic look, but a little more action look. There's been some fighting and things going on here. So we'll hold up the final wall product. You can see here now, you got the lid glued down or glued on to the wall. You got the steel little rebar, which has made the plastic screws going up. And if I hold it like this, you can see how there's little groups of those plastic pieces laying around, looking like the little piles of debris that have fallen off it. So as for painting this, it's going to be a similar process to painting the tank traps. You're going to go ahead, take it outside, hit it with some really cheap primer, no fancy GW stuff here, just no waste. It's just a waste of money to do it. Come back in, maybe go with a gray color using the, you know, mix the poster paints again. And maybe you want to do kind of the effect that I got back here in the set behind me, where draw some maybe lighter gray lines to represent some, you know, brick lines, the mortar lines to separate the bricks. And then along the top and bottom where it's all blown up, maybe dry brush black on there to give it a look like it's a little bit burned and charred, like, you know, a rocket flew into it and blew up. Perhaps you go with some pot marking, like I see in the back in the set behind me on the styrofoam I got behind me. Don't talk about styrofoam. It's supposed to be a real burned down wall. I'm just kidding. So yeah, so you can put little, you know, dry brush some spots of black on it and make it look like this little small, maybe explosive shells or something hit there and did damage to it. You know, just give a little variety effect to it and make it look like the wall's been destroyed and burned. And with that, let's take a short break and we'll come back and do our last and most ambitious project, which is building these ruined buildings. Okay, so here we are. We're going to take up the last project for the day, which is building those gigantic ruined buildings. So what I'm actually going to use for that is I'm pulling out a large GW box. In this case, I'm busting out one of my fireware boxes, but if you have maybe like a Space Marine, I think the Gaunt boxes are about the same size. And what we're going to end up doing is actually probably turning this thing into probably two different buildings. It's going to be interesting. So, what you're going to see, maybe one, probably just one. What we're going to end up doing is using the lids of the box. These are going to become the floors of the building. So there's two of the big top lids. The sides are going to become, probably going to make that one side of the building. And the front of the box is also going to be another side of the building. So let's go ahead, separate the lids from the box. Now the next thing you want to do is, I mean, it depends how you want to design the building exactly. I'm going to make it so, like, it's basically a quarter of a building. You know, there probably was more to the building that's all been blown up. So what we've got left here is mostly blown up. So what I'm going to actually end up doing, let's see here. Pick one corner of the box and just cut it open along the length of the box. So this way now, if you wanted to, you could unfold the entire box if you wanted to. Now I'll pick the opposite corner diagonally, of course, and cut that as well. So essentially you're cutting the main portion of the box into two equally sized halves, where each size consists of one of the large portions of the box, so one of the front and the back, and one of the sides. Therefore, this will allow us to kind of set the box up, I guess, in a corner, and actually make this part of the ruined building. This basically will become the foundation of the ruined building. Go ahead and cut this little flap of the box off. And we might as well cut the one on the bottom off as well. We don't really need it. So, we're gonna get back to this in just a minute. And what we're going to end up doing is starting by working on the floors. So what we want to do with the floors is actually make them look like they've been blown up and they're all ruined and all trashed. So, right now, the floors are about the same size as the two lids of the box. So kind of like how we did the wall segment where we cut off pieces to make it look like it's been blown up, we're going to do that with the floors. So let's decide now, first of all, pick two sides which are essentially going to match the sides of the box. And become basically two of the four sides of the floor are going to be attached to a wall. So those two you don't necessarily want to chop up as much because you want to look like maybe the middle of the building is what blew up and what you got left is kind of the corner of the building. So this side here and this side that I mark with X's, these are going to be the sides of the floor which are attached to the building. So it's the other two sides that we want to see are totally ruined and destroyed. So let's go ahead. We're just going to trace out a demolished looking pattern. So let's go. Obviously, the bigger the area is, then the more people you can stick on the floor. So it's decide how big you want the destroyed floor section to be. And just once you've got it traced out, pick up your scissors and very quickly and roughly cut through it. There we go. So you see one floor now here. I've got the two sides marked with X's that are going to actually be attached to the building, the wall, sorry. And then the other side is all cut up and burned up and destroyed. So let's do the same thing for the other floor. So the end result, this is going to be a three-floor building. We'll make this floor a little bit bigger. Like this will be, say, the second floor maybe. And the one that I just made a moment ago is going to be the third floor because it's got a little bit more taken out of it. There we go. So let's hold them both up now. They're both done. You can see I've got the two X's are on the same sides for each of the floors. And I've got little ruined bits. And just make things clear because we're going to paint over anyway. I'm going to put a giant 2 on the second floor and a giant, well, it's a mutated 3 on the third floor. I don't know. It's Super 3. Figure it out. Okay, so let's go back to the main building itself. First of all, we're going to decide how tall do we want them to be. It'd be helpful if I actually had a Warhammer 40K figure sitting around here, because then I can, you know, get an idea of height. But, you know, since Warhammer 40K is about a 28, 30 millimeter scale game, you know that about 25 millimeters or so is probably around 5 feet or so. Okay. Basically kind of arbitrarily pick where probably the second floor is going to be. So I'm going to guess maybe about an inch and a half up. 2 inches or so. Yeah, I would say about maybe, let's go a little bit higher. Maybe a little bit over 2 inches is where we're going to mark the second floor to be at. Like I said, it's kind of approximate. And since this is a destroyed building, maybe the entire floor is listing a little bit. So if the line is not perfectly flat, no one's going to care. Just make sure the figures stay on the building. They don't fall off, because that's bad. And then maybe another 2.5 inches above that, that's where we're going to mark the third floor at. So you want to make the floors about equally height, because that's usually, not all buildings are like that now that I think about it. So if they're a little bit different height, that's not terribly critical. I mean, it could be some kind of weird scientific building. I've seen some of those buildings on my school's campus don't have equally height floors. And then instead of having a fourth floor, because the fourth floor is either gone or there never was one, we're going to do kind of like what we did with the floors and mark the ruin segments. So let's just go ahead and make it, trace out a pattern as to where the wall has been blown a bit. So to hold this whole thing up, you can see I've got the two floors marked out with lines. And along the very top, we've got all the little blown off bits and chunks where, the top of the building has just been obliterated. So let's go ahead and, I say that word a lot. Let's go ahead and cut out the top of the building where all the damage and destruction portion is. Don't have to really follow your cut too well. But that's really more of a rough guide to get an idea of, about the height of where the completely obliterated wall should be. Hey, why don't we be a little clever because we can? Let's go ahead and we're going to fold the wall in half. Crease it at the corner of the building. And what you're going to do, let's go ahead and cut out like a hole in the side of the corner of the building. So if you ever know how in elementary school, when you made the snowflakes, where you folded the thing up and kind of cut out one spot, then it came out in two? Just like that, now we've got a gigantic hole in the side of the building that your guys can shoot out of. Of course, at this point, you're probably wondering, well, should there be windows or doors or something? Yes, there should. And that's what we're going to do right now before we go ahead and start assembling everything. To make your life a little bit easier, you want to decide on the size of the doors prior to actually starting to, you know, draw things. So that way, all the windows are about the same size. So let's do this. What I'm actually going to end up doing is taking a side off the crisis suit box, and we're going to use that kind of as a template for the window. So let's go ahead and cut now. We'll go ahead and do something kind of like that, something simple. So cut out a rectangle. It looks maybe about the size of what you might expect the window in Warhammer 40K to be. Make it maybe a little larger so you can see the figure kind of sticking out of it. Put that down on your template and start tracing them out. You want to start from the corner that's actually intact. So let's say there probably would have been a window there had not a half chunk of it been blown out by the blast to the side of the building. So there's one there. Let's space it over a little bit, like say like that. There'll be the next window. So, yeah, I gotta, man. You know, you don't realize how often you say a word until you focused on it. Here, that's a free hint for you guys. If you ever want to basically train yourself not to talk a certain way, do a podcast. Then you gotta listen to yourself talk all the time, over and over and over again as you edit the show, and you realize what words you say way too much, like so and crap. Which, that's the first time I said this episode. And let's go ahead and do the same thing on the first floor, but instead of, say, a window, we're going to make it a door. That would make sense. There would be a door on the first floor. Of course, maybe this side of the building doesn't have the door, because the door was on the other side of the building, because it got vaporized. You never know. It's your building. Design it however you want to design it. Whatever kind of makes sense to you. You can see here now I've traced out where all the windows and doors are going to be. And I can go ahead and cut them out. I mean, if they're on the top floor, you probably use scissors. That'll be probably a little bit easier. For the ones that aren't on the top floor, maybe you want to bust out a hobby knife or X-Acto blade of some sort and cut those out. Because that would probably be a little bit easier if you don't have, you know, direct access to one of the edges for cutting them out. Lesson why I used a diagonal cutting pliers instead of saying X-Acto blade to cut the little plastic sprues. See, there's no blade in here because it's shattered and it's somewhere around this kitchen. I don't know where it is yet. I haven't found it, but it's been about 24 hours since it shattered, and thank goodness it did not go into my neck. That's why I used the diagonal cutters instead of X-Acto blades to cut the little plastic sprues. Okay, well, I got that all cut out. Maybe I made the windows a little too big. Oops. But it's all, you know, and basically the details, it's all details. But the basic gist of the whole project still works. Because there isn't a whole lot of wall left to protect your guys. The other one would look better with the smaller windows. Keep that in mind when you're doing this. So, what we need to do now, there's that word again, is to basically make the supports of the building. Because obviously the cardboard itself is pretty flimsy. It's not going to stand on its own. Or not very well, anyway. So what we want to do is run supports along the corner segment and along where the floors are going to be glued down. And surprise, surprise, those supports are going to come in the form of plastic sprues. So just measure. Can I measure by putting the plastic sprue up against the piece of cardboard itself to determine how long they need to be and cut them out to the appropriate length? So, with everything else, as before, let's get some hot glue in this gun. Run some hot glue literally right in the corner where the box folds. And then take the really long plastic sprue and just stick it in the corner. Fold the whole thing up so that it basically folds at about a 90 degree angle. Be careful not to burn yourself because that will ruin your day in a hurry. And if necessary, apply some glue in such a way that it ends up kind of gluing itself pretty well together at a 90 degree angle. So you need to cut now four more pieces of sprue. The first two are going to be really long, and these are going to go lengthwise across the long section of the walls. Basically, these are going to become the foundations of the floors. So you're going to have them go along the long section of the wall here, this part. So cut two of them that fit along there. You know, they don't have the exact length, because, you know, as with, say, the blown out wall, it's going to look like there's little bits of rhubarb, you know, sticking out beyond that. So if they're not quite the exact right size, no big deal. A little bit smaller, fine. A little bit bigger, oh well. It just adds a little bit of character to the whole thing. And then once you've got it at about the right size that you want it, just like that, using the hot glue, glue it down as well. And also glue it to the main piece that's, you know, the main corner sprue that you got glued in there. There we go. Just like, so you can see now how I've got the first, say things right that don't sound offensive. The first sprue piece glued in there. Do the same thing and measure another one out and then cut it. The one thing to keep in mind is that the top side, that's basically the side that's pointing up towards the top of the building, you want that to be flat so that you can actually glue the floor onto it. Now we're going to cut two more smaller pieces over on the side there for the short sections of the wall. Now I've got the basic skeleton on the inside done here. It's kind of limping a little bit because I accidentally cut a piece down here a little too far in the base. So you may want to consider adding more support maybe along the sides here, or sometimes maybe putting some internal columns, maybe get the floors on there to make sure your figures stay up. It's a little bit of a fudging around, you know, try some different things out depending on the size of the building, what works good. This is all just a base guideline to start with. So let's go ahead now and glue the floors on. So just kind of how you ran glue along the walls to attach the sprues, run some hot glue in a few places along each of the sprues and just kind of stick the floor on there, because if you measure things right, it should fit pretty good. That's an interesting point to think of. And the corner that is made between where the two sides you mark with the X, cut a little bit off. Just because there's now the main support sprue there, and if you don't, the floor is not going to fit on. That's a good point to mention. So now in my case, my entire building's listing because I broke a piece and oops. This is kind of a disaster, but that was really more of I'm an idiot, I screwed up, than anything necessarily wrong with the design per se. So just keep that in mind. Like I said, maybe add some more support somewhere. In theory, it still works. So let me add the top floor on, same way. Put some glue there. Well, yeah. I mean, maybe you guys can't use it, but it's still a ruined building. It looks cool. It may be slanted and tilting, ready to fall over and kill all the poor occupants trying to defend the ruined wreck. So with that, we can kind of call this thing done. I mean, like I said, it's just the start. Like I said, some other things you might want to consider is adding actually, one, a base to it. That might solve the problem of this little piece dangling here and break it. I actually put a nice thick cardboard base on the one I created earlier. You can see it down here. Also, internal columns that go attached to the base and the floors. What you'll find is some of the figures, especially some of the really heavy ones, if you put them over here away from where the main supports are attached to the wall, the piece is going to bend, they're going to fall off. You don't want your metal termites falling off and smashing and breaking like that. Yeah, so that's some logical improvements. As for painting them, it's pretty straightforward. Go ahead, give it a few coats of gray. You know, put some little black around the edges that are all torched. Maybe even do like we did with the destroyed wall segment, where we took a lot of little pieces and cut them up and sprinkled them around. I did that here. If I hold this thing up, you can see that there's little pieces of sprue here and there to kind of look like it's been bombed up and there's little debris falling. So that kind of gives it a cool look too. It's not the nicest looking thing, but it's a cheap way to crank out a lot of buildings, because, you know, if you play Warhammer 40K, you probably got lots of boxes and lots of sprues laying around. In fact, here's an Apocalypse one I never even used. Oh, cool. There's a little metal beacon things on there. I should take care of that. But yes. So yeah, it's basically a great way to use up what is otherwise trash, is the long story short. Camera's yelling at me. We only got a few minutes left on the tape, so I gotta finish this thing up. Well, hopefully you get some ideas to go from there. You can actually make them look pretty good if you don't screw up like I did. But hey, it happens. When I do these live builds, that kind of stuff's going to happen. Wow, camera tape's almost empty and battery's almost dead. We're really pushing things. So, let me definitely sign off here. Once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. For more information on the World of Miniature Wargaming or submit your own content, check out the Army Showcase and Tabletop Battlefield Podcast, which you're watching right now. I give you my YouTube spiel. Sorry, guys. You already are watching the Tabletop Battlefield Podcast. You know what you're doing. All right, well, yeah, check out tabletopbattlefield.com, our main website, for more information, more crazy projects, cool army list, or if you want to post your own and give your army a home on the internet and then share it with other online communities, check it out over at tabletopbattlefield.com. Any questions or comments, send them over to jason@rocklesoftware.com. That's Jason at rocklesoftware.com. I do read them all, except the spam ones, because I don't want any of your products. But the real ones that you guys send, I do read them. And of course, follow me over at Twitter, twitter.com/TT_battlefield, which of course is an awesome site if you want to see my random thoughts about how the fact that I torture myself with very hot, spicy chicken wings. I'm never going to do that ever, ever again. So, with that, once again, thanks for watching. I promise we'll try to get that cool debate show I've had on, and not too far in the future. We got some other neat things lined up. And actually, let me see if I can grab it quickly. We got, 3 minutes. I can grab it. Ah, yes. This review is going to be coming up not too long. StarCraft Brood War, the expansion of Fantasy Flight's awesome game. So we're definitely going to do a full review of this once we've got some more playtime on it. I played Kyle once, and I kicked the crap out of him, my lurkers, because he didn't see it coming. So, that was fun. Those lurkers are deadly and terrifying. I'm sure to mention that in the show group. But until then, yeah, we're about it for now, so we'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.